Welcome to the iStation blog. I'm Dick Collins, and I'm with me today is Vicki Davis. She's a teacher and IT director at Westwood Schools in Camilla, Georgia, and she's the creator of the award-winning Cool Cat blog, and she hosts Every Classroom Matters on BAM Radio. BAM stands for Body and Mind. She's co-authored the book Flattening Classrooms, Engaging Minds, and she's got a new book coming up, Reinventing Writing. And welcome to the show, Vicki, and thank you for being here, and thank you for your work in Georgia.
I'm so glad to be here.
Now, tell me about your new book, Reinvented Writing.
Well, Reinventing Writing is really about how we can write electronically now, because so many classrooms have not changed. They're still very much entrenched in paper, and there are 9 tools that have really changed writing and how we learn and actually how we live. And I want to teach every teacher how to teach with them. So it's really written for any teacher that's using or trying cloud tools. And I try to help them know how to pick the right tool for how they're teaching, because, you know, not every tool is the right thing for every circumstance. You want to customize to the individual learner. And then I talk about how you can set it up very easily and how to prevent the common mistakes so that they can learn from the experiences I've had making some mistakes in my classroom.
Would you tell me what it means to have a flattened classroom?
Well, the term flattening the classroom doesn't need to be scary. It actually came from Thomas Friedman's book, The World is Flat. And a teacher in Bangladesh and I were studying, both studying Thomas Friedman's book, and we decided to merge our classrooms together and study together and to write wikis together and to do videos together. And so when you flatten the classroom, that basically means you remove the walls and you merge your classroom together with students in other classrooms. So literally, my students have partners in projects that they will never meet face-to-face. So you're learning how to collaborate like you do in the business world, which is across distance, across town, across the world, in very powerful ways. But the big thing about the flattened classroom is you can apply this in any class. So I've got a new project I'm planning right now based on the book Physics of the Future, where the students are going to be writing the wiki together as they research these amazing trends like handheld MRIs. I mean, that's going to completely transform the medical field. And then they're going to create videos and actually edit the videos together, because now we have the technology to allow us to do that. So we will literally merge our classrooms together. It's actually become a pretty mature way of teaching. I mean, a lot of us know how to do it, especially with the book I co-wrote, Flattening Classrooms, Engaging Minds. We really try to teach teachers how to do that. And so many teachers are creating projects all around the world now and inviting other teachers to participate, which is really cool.
Now, do you use Skype so you can visually see what the other student looks like?
We use Skype and Blackboard Collaborate and WizIQ. I mean, we can use all kinds of tools. You do want to help students understand that there's a real student on the other side of the world. So you do try to share pictures, especially the older kids. They can share pictures and videos and all that sort of thing, unless they're from a country. You know, there's some countries that don't allow photography, particularly of the young ladies. So there have to be other ways than just, you know, Skyping or connecting. But now Google Hangout is kind of the cool new thing that everybody's using, because you can record those and then throw it up on your YouTube channel. So a lot of times when my students are meeting other neat people, we met a recruiter for a lot of big IT companies like Google out of Atlanta. We met her over Google Hangout and talked to her about all the IT jobs. So that's a very typical thing that a flattened classroom would do, because you can literally bring anybody in the world into your classroom and connect and remove those walls, which is very powerful.
Now, why is this important in the education of students?
Well, in the 21st century, I mean, if you just look at the business world, I read a statistic that said by 2018, 1 out of 5 business people are going to be on the first name basis with someone from India.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know what the statistic will be, you know, back this way, India on a first name basis with someone from the U.S., but it is essential that we are able to connect with people any place, anywhere, anytime. And so many students in many schools are non-contributors and they don't participate. And my friend Angela Myers says that if you're invisible, you don't exist. You have to be a contributor in online spaces to be successful in academics and the business world.
How did you get started, and how can other teachers get started in trying to create the global classroom?
Well, there's so many ways that you can connect. You can go to the Skype website and do Mystery Skype. You can look at the Global Classroom projects where teachers post their projects. You can participate for free. You can join ePals. You can join iEARN. You can look at the Flat Classroom projects. There are many projects around. And, you know, honestly, one of the best ways that teachers connect with projects is over Twitter, because we're always sharing what we're doing and connecting. And most projects that I know of now were actually created and kind of started with a Twitter conversation. So that would be an essential place that teachers do need to connect. And we just finished Connected Educator Month in October, and thousands, tens of thousands of teachers started connecting online. I mean, they don't have to be on Twitter to connect, but it's just one way that many people are. But there are many different projects that people can join and contribute in simple ways. I mean, I think every classroom that's teaching geography should do Mystery Skype, where you Skype with somebody or do Google Hangout and you ask them questions and try to figure out where they are on a map.
Have you seen a difference between students and teachers who use these connections?
Well, in my own classroom, I mean, I live in a small town, and a lot of the kids, you know, the only time they leave the state is to go to Panama City, and they're wonderful people. I'm in a farming community. I love my students. I love their parents. But many of them don't get to travel and see the world. And so we need to be able to work together and get to know people instead of stereotyping, that that's what our world needs. And they were very emphatic about that. And I realized, as I was pondering it after they left my room, I realized that their worldview had changed without them having to change their latitude and longitude.
Atta girl, that's just great. That's great. What's the size of your school, by the way?
I have a very small K-12 school of about 460. That's it. A little tiny school.
That's all right. You're giving high-quality education to your kids. By the way, at iStation, we teach reading in the content area of science, history, and geography, and one of our characters, Justin Time, goes back to 265 BC to teach kids about science. And he goes to the home of Archimedes in Syracuse, Sicily, to teach kids about volume, mass, and density, and so on. So we try to do exactly what you're talking about doing.
Well, writing across the curriculum is so important.
Right.
And, you know, I'm real interested to see those videos and what you're doing, because the other thing about kids today is that they need multisensory learning. They need to the videos, and they need the animations, and they need to hear it. Lecture, you know, I was talking to some teachers the other day, and I said, you know what, if you have lectured 20 minutes, you have lost 90% of the students. So if you decide to continue, you're deciding to talk to nobody. You have to use multimedia with kids. It's just essential.
Yep, you're exactly right. And, well, that means this is why you're such an effective teacher. Now, how has flattening your classroom impacted your career and your approach to education?
Well, flattening my classroom has let me meet a lot of amazing teachers from around the world who are now very dear friends. So through social media and flattening my own classroom and getting to know all these folks, it gets the attention and it allows people who are basically nobodies to be able to contribute to the profession they love because other people in that profession are listening. And that's never happened on our planet. The kind of things that are happening now. And it's a very exciting time because I can stay in the classroom and do what I love. Used to, if you wanted to change education, you had to leave the classroom. You know, and my goal and dream is to stay in the classroom, make a whole career of it, but to share the learning because I think it means more. You know, I love to listen to classroom teachers because I learn so much and I know that they know what it's like and how hard it is. It is so hard to teach, and it's struggle, and you just have so much of your personal time goes away. So, you know, flattening my classroom has transformed my life just through the other teachers that I've met.
Well, you're doing great work, and I like to end my interviews with people about what story inspired you to get involved in education, and what inspired you as a student or a teacher, what inspires you to help kids.
You know, when I think about my most inspiring stories, you know, teachers can teach. There are certain students that anybody can teach. They're the students who can sit alone in a room with a book and they'll teach it to themselves. You're not a great teacher if you can teach those students. I mean, if you can push them further, that's wonderful. But to me, the greatest teachers are the people who can teach the struggling students. And I know you have a heart for struggling students, Dick, because that you've already shared that with me today. And so my best story, when I think of my most inspirational story, has to do with a struggling student. I had a student that had a really hard time, and he had lost his father at a very young age. And he struggled. And he didn't want to turn in his work sometimes because he didn't think it was good enough. He never thought it was good enough, and he just wouldn't turn it in. Well, he was sitting beside, this was last Christmas, he was sitting beside my desk, and I went to him, and I said, listen, you know, and I'm just going to call him Tom. That's not his name. I said, Tom, one day you're going to go into information technology. You're going to go into IT. You've already told me you want to be a programmer. And you are an A student. That is who you are. Now, right now, you do not have an A because you haven't turned, you know, this and this in. But I see an A in you, and we're not stopping until you have an A. You will earn it, but you will do it. And he said, no, I just can't do it. I can't do it. And I said, no, you're coming back, and we will do this, and you will get it done. Well, he came back, and he did it, and he turned it in, and he just said, it's just not good enough. I don't even know why I bothered turning it in. He hung his head, and I graded, and he earned an excellent grade. Well, he came back a couple days later, and he stood at my desk, and he looked at me. He was all by himself after school, and I could tell he had something he wanted to say, and he looked at me, and he said, Miss Vicki, thank you for believing in me when I didn't even believe in myself. And it struck me, and every time I tell that story, I tear up because, you know, it's easy to believe in the students who make 100 on everything, but when you take the time and the effort to believe in the kids that are struggling and are having a hard time, and you do whatever it takes to reach those kids who are struggling, that is when you truly teach. That is your legacy, and that is greatness in teaching.
Well, yeah, couldn't have said it better, and I teared up, and thank you for taking care of that boy. It made a difference. Thank you so much, Vicki, for being with us today. Take care. Thank you so much.
Thanks.